opinions expressed on this podcast do not necessarily reflect those of the management of Louisville.am and Veritas New Media, a Louisville.am production.
Head coach of the Western Kentucky Hilltoppers, Jeff Ross. Today I'm with Matt Jones, Kevin Harnett, Pat 40. I'm with Anoush Sariot, Kristen Wall, United States Congressman John Yarman, Cerebral Fantasy, and...
Welcome to the Rusty Satellite Show with your host, Rick Redding. The show airs every week exclusively here on the Louisville.am Podcast Network. Rick's ready to start ranting and raving about his hometown right now. So, here's Rick.
And this is Rick Redding, the host of the Rusty Satellite Show. Happy to welcome you back to another great episode, number 155, in this wonderful show about the most interesting people in the Ville. And, of course, this week my guests are interesting to the max. Will Heiser, many of you know, is a quite a character in this town. He has done a he has launched, I think it's his ninth season of The Will Show. It's a It's a series of videos you can see on YouTube and that are hilarious and about some characters in Louisville that you will be interested in hearing about. But Will does some impressions on the show. It's really great. In the second part of the show, I've got a great book author. His name is J. Patrick Redman. He has written a book called Some Go Hungry, and it is I love the way he describes this book. He says it's about he's about God, guns, gays, and green beans, and that should be enough to entice you to be interested in it. It brings up some very important issues. I read the book this week and really enjoyed it, and had the chance to meet with Patrick over at a Waffle House. I don't know why we did that, but Caroline Knopp set it up, and we had a good time over there. So anyway, that's what this show is going to be about. I hope you'll stay tuned and listen to the whole thing. I want to mention right now, before we get too far into the show, that I'm very happy and proud to have the Eye Care Institute as a sponsor of this program. The Eye Care Institute can handle all of your eye care needs. They have the best technology. They have all the equipment. They got really great doctors. I've been over there myself. You can give them a call at 502-589-1500. Any questions you have about your eyes and your vision, they'll be able to help you and get you right in. So it's down there on Story Avenue, Eye Care Institute, a great sponsor of the Rusty Satellite Show. Be sure and tell them that you heard about it right here on the show. I would also like to remind you, before we get into the meat of the show, that this podcast thing is really gaining in popularity. You may know that I am a responsible for two other podcasts every week, the one for the Jeffersontown Chamber. It's the only chamber of commerce that I know of in the country doing its own podcast. It's very interesting stuff. This week I have Sadiqua Reynolds on the show. She is the president of the Louisville Urban League, and a lot of people know about her from her days with Mayor Fisher, and they have a big job fair out in J-Town this week. So, I think the job fair is next week. So be sure and tune into that. And with my partner Steve Coombs, we'll be doing the I think it's like the seventh episode of the Eat, Drink, Talk podcast. Steve is recognized as the top food writer in this town, and we have a lot of interesting things to talk about things we eat, things we drink. And it's a lot of fun. We went last weekend to Whiskey Live. What a great event that was. If you're into the brown spirits, that was the place to be out at the Marriott East last weekend. I'm sure we'll be talking about that and, you know, new restaurant openings and closings and places we go to experience the great personalities. It could be called the most interesting people in the Louisville restaurant and dining and drinking community. I don't know. We're working on another title for the show. But anyway, tune into that. It's at eatdrinktalk.net or right here on the Louisville.am network. And if you have a great idea for a podcast, I would encourage you to get in touch with me. We have a great studio here in St. Matthews, and and it's really easy to get a podcast going. So Dan Vonderhad just started a new one. Dan's our leader here. He just started a 40-ish podcast, and it's a really cool show too. He's done about four or five of them. So anyway, think about that if you're going to do if you're thinking about a way to get your message out. Podcast could be the way to go. And I'd love to talk to you about that. All right, well, I got a lot to get to. There's some big issues going on this week in the city that I will talk about in the second part of the show. But right now, I'm gonna turn over, give you a chuckle or two, and listen to Will Heiser talk to me about the Will Show and things going on in his life. As you may or may not remember, I have had his father on the show. Dr. Heiser is he's a great guy and was helping me with some of my physical issues. By the way, you know, I had ankle surgery back in November, and for the first time since then, I walked 18 holes on Saturday morning with my pal Mark Hebert and my son Luke and Gary Manns from U of L, and it was a struggle. It was I did great on the first nine. The second nine, walking became a bit of a chore, but anyway, I'm on my way back. I really enjoy the opportunity to walk on my bum foot. So, anyway, just an update on my, you know, personal rehab that's going on. I'll be trying to walk again. I think that's an important step for me in terms of that. But anyway, I got off the subject once again. We're talking about Will Heiser and Dr. Heiser. Of course, Chip Heiser, Will's brother, who runs Vault in the Ville, is a pole vaulter, was on the show also. And now we finally got around to Will. I guess we're going to get to his mom, Peggy, sooner or later. But anyway, Will's a very entertaining young man, and I really enjoy talking to him. So stay tuned and listen to my interview with Will Heiser.
No matter how young and healthy you are, life can be full of unpleasant surprises. And without health insurance, even a short hospital stay could set you back thousands of dollars. If you qualify for expanded Medicaid, you can get coverage through Passport Health Plan. Find out if you qualify. Call 855-459-6328 or go online at kynect.ky.gov. Choose Passport, the plan that takes the time to care.
And today we're with Will Heiser in the studio, and Will, just welcome to the show, first of all.
Oh, thank you for having me. It's a pleasure. Now, took you long enough.
I know. I've gone through your whole family. I had your father on the show, and I had your brother on the show, and so I'm glad to finally have you. You though, I think, fit the show better because you are one of the most interesting people in the town, in the Ville.
Got them all fooled, including you. Got them all fooled.
Very interesting.
Well, thank you.
Just to give our audience a little background on you, part of the Heiser family, but you've done a few things. You've been involved in The Voice, mm-hmm. and you've done these great videos, I guess, is what people know you for.
Yeah, I started out my career, and I took the entertainment side of the family. So when I was a teenager, I was actually a recording artist. I was signed and dropped to four or five different record labels, was a songwriter, and ended up moving to New York and getting into sketch comedy with the Upright Citizens Brigade. And I started thewillshow.com, I guess it'll be 9 years in December since we started. Okay. So I've been doing these, you know, short little parodies, musical parodies, videos out of my tiny little studio apartment in New York City. And now I've got, you know, of course, a larger studio here in Louisville. And
It just hit me. I just remembered, and I hope I'm not wrong, weren't you like on a national reality show?
Yeah, I've been on a few. I was on American Idol, which is a disaster. And then I was on season 14 of Big Brother, and I lost, obviously.
Well, you know. Somebody, you know, most people lose when they go on those shows.
Yes.
I guess. You know, there's only one that wins, and I don't know that the prize for winning would be that great, would it? I mean,
$500,000.
Oh, you know, well, that's a pretty good prize. Not bad.
No.
All right. Well, I was online last week, and something popped up, I think, on Facebook or whatever, and I saw this thing, The Real Housewives of Louisville.
Yes.
And that was your project, and I watched it, and I started laughing, and I'm still chuckling at it. Tell me a little bit about the characters in there, because I think a lot of our folks, some former Rusty Satellite Show guests are on there.
Well, what's interesting is I filmed a lot of reality show pilots since my time on Big Brother with Bravo and A&E, and they've all always tried to do, they've tried, Bravo's tried to do a Real Housewives of Louisville for the past 10 years, and they've never been able to do it because we don't really kiss and tell in Louisville, and but there's so many characters.
Well,
in
I remember
city.
The Southern Belle show, that was a big deal.
It's kind of a snooze. I don't know. I don't know. I wasn't a fan, but I like Hadley Hart. She was on there. But but there's so many great women and so many great characters in this city. And so I kind of took the opportunity to, well, if they're not going to do it, I'm going to do it for them.
There you go. So just for the audience to know, Will impersonates these women in the videos, and they're hilarious. Let me just ask you about a couple of them. The ones that were on the show, Barbara Sexton Smith, that was really
She is amazing. I tell you, that woman can conquer the world, and so can you. She is here and is one of you, even though she's right. One of the 1%.
She's just that sounds just like when she sounded when she was on the show. So that was really good. And somebody that not as often a target of parody, Melissa Swan.
I've always had a fascination with Melissa Swan. I heard a rumor years ago, and it's probably not true, from another news anchor that she stole a pack of cigarettes from Taylor's drugstore. Really? It's probably not true. And I always found that just really funny because she's very buttoned up and. You know, even when she gave her final news, she retired from. And, you know, you've seen other people, you know, retire from television and they're, you know, emotional and then they're themselves. And Melissa was still just very thank you for my 4,800 years with WHA-11. And I will miss all of you. But I'd love to point out this one woman. And she brings out, this is her finale show, and she brings out this basket of these knitted dolls of her. And she's like, I'd like to thank Ann So-and-so in Fern Creek, who every year has crocheted a doll of me in my derby outfit. And I was like, that is the creepiest send-off I have ever seen in my life.
I'm a little uncomfortable just hearing that.
I know. Let's leave. We need to go get a drink.
So my next question, how did your mother react to being a parody on
the
show?
Well, my mom, she's a character in herself. She's been a constant inspiration for a lot of my sketches. My first big one was Mom Jeans.
Mom Jeans.
Yeah, there's still a Wikipedia battle going online whether I did it first or Tina Fey did it first. Because we did it. We released our parodies like right around the same time. But my mom's always been sort of an influence for some of the female characters that I've played. And, you know, I parody people that are interesting and that are worth parodying, and I think that's where the compliment. You know, if you can be parodied, my thing is you're kind of boring. Like, no.
And I'm not going to rest till you do me.
Come on. Watch out. Be careful what you wish for.
This is a series, so you just did the first one, so there's some others coming up. Are there any new people that we should be watching out for?
So it'll be a 12-part series every Thursday, so basically throughout the summer. I have my five stable women that are the cast, which is Melissa Swan, Barbara Sexton Smith, my mother Peggy Heiser, Tracy Blue, former Blue, Tracy former Blue, and then who's the other one?
I didn't know her. It was like
Sarah Haynes. Sarah Haynes is the wife of Jim Haynes, who owns Bluegrass Auto.
Okay,
who's just she's a wonderful, wonderful woman, but just really, really funny. So we'll follow them all summer long, but also we'll have other local people popping up. So one might be Angie Fenton this Thursday.
Okay, it might happen.
It might just happen. Watch
we
out,
might want
Angie.
To tune in for that one.
I'm coming to you for you, Angie. Did you know she had a baby?
I did know. She's a good friend of the show.
You know she had a magazine?
Yeah, she has a whole magazine.
You know she's on WHAS? Yes, you know her name is Angie? I'm kidding. She just loves Angie. Angie is for Angie. Vote for Angie.
Yeah, I'm all for Angie. She's great. So do any of these people that are the subject of parodies, they get their feelings hurt?
You know, everyone, most people don't. Most people take it as a compliment, as I feel they should. Some people do. I did Claudia Coffey a few years ago. She initially, reportedly via Terry Miners, wasn't very happy about it, but then kind of came on board and was like, okay, I get it, and we're friends now. This season I heard from, of course, my mom loved it. Sarah Haynes, who's in it, she thought it was hysterical. I parodied Shannon Cogan, who took it really good. The one person that I don't think likes it is I always try and sneak in Ann Northup.
Well, no offense, she probably shouldn't like it, but no. Yeah, that's funny. So you know, just changing subjects a little bit, but you're in Louisville. I mean, you're in show business. You're all these things. Why do you choose to stay in Louisville?
You know, I've lived in L.A. I've lived in New York. I've tried both those avenues, and every lead I've gotten in my career, I've gotten from Louisville. We're such a well-connected city, mm-hmm. and for what I'm doing, you know, there's a very no one else is doing it here, really. So, and I love Louisville. It's a very inspiring environment to be around. You know, I call it a Play-Doh city. You can kind of make it what you want it to be, and yeah. then, you know, just going out to Jack Fry's for lunch on a Friday, I see a sketch unfold right in front of me.
There you go. Well, you know, it's easy to do what you know. And obviously, I can't believe now that you say that. I remember when I was doing a totally different thing, when the first time I ever heard about the Will Show, that was like in 2007 or
yeah, right? We used to 2007 was when we started. Yeah, yeah.
It's really bizarre.
I've been around a long time.
So you must have a lot of like wigs and outfits. And
I have 78 wigs. I had a nightmare last night that I went to my studio and someone broke in and took all of them.
Oh,
no. I'm like, do you know how expensive those wigs are?
78 wigs, yeah, because, well, just think, you got like Shannon Cogan is brown and Melissa Swan in red and
sometimes
and all the
I'll
blondes.
Pull out Paula Deen, she's a gray with a very particular cut and style. Y'all, put some butter and oil on it, it'll be fine.
So this show business, it must be an interesting family. I know, like I said, I talked to your dad and your brother Chip. I guess he's still pole vaulting somewhere.
He actually just retired.
Okay.
Yeah, he just hung up his cleats after 20 years in the pole vault. I'm sad but glad because I've had to sit at many a track meets.
Yeah.
Waiting. Yeah. I'd rather watch mail rot.
I remember the pole vault thing down on 4th Street Live. That was kind of fun. I'm sure track meets normally are less exciting than that.
Not as exciting. Yeah. Vault in the Ville goes by really fast. Really high energy. Super fun. We just had it again this year, and it benefits the Louisville Youth Training Center. And then we'll have it again next year, even though Chip is retired. He's still, yeah.
Is he in Louisville, or does he come back to Louisville?
He's living in Arkansas, which I'm completely baffled by. I don't know why anyone would want to live in Arkansas. I don't know what he's thinking. So he's in town for the next couple of weeks, so I'm hoping he's going to move back to Louisville.
He'll be twisting his arm, I guess.
Yeah, and it's a dry county, too. It's like, what are you thinking?
Wow, Arkansas without alcohol. How could that be? Well, a last subject I want to touch on. You were involved in the Pride events last week, and I know that that's important to you. Where do you think Louisville is in terms of its acceptance of LGBT and all that? It's in the news a lot.
Right. Well, I think it's important to separate Louisville from Kentucky. We are very, there's Louisville, then Kentucky, and mm-hmm. we're a very progressive, unique city. We just got the HRC, we're 100% equality. I forget now, my mind's going blank, as far as in terms of business accepting LGBT employees and okay. how we're treated in the workplace. And Louisville really does a good job of breaking the stereotype. And I think in spite of like the tragedy that happened in Orlando, you know, maybe something good can come out of that. And you sort of saw it this weekend with the Pride Festival. There were more straight people watching the parade than there were gay. And it's, you know, even myself, I'm looking at friends that I've known for years and seeing them in a completely different light and realizing how talented and how creative and, you know, just getting rid of the stereotype of being an LGBT member of the community and actually just being a Louisvillian and a member and people realizing that, I think, is hopefully that's what comes out of it.
Yeah, well, it's very important. I'm glad you're doing that work and having a lot of fun doing it.
Yes,
exactly.
What's not fun about riding on the back of a windsurfing off the back of a convertible and nothing but rainbow tulle?
Yeah, that sounds like a fun. You ought to check some of the photos on Facebook, audience, and all that. So let's wrap it up, Will, and you know. Maybe this will be difficult for you, but probably not. Pick one of your characters and tease the next Real Housewives of Louisville.
Well, I tell you, I will start it like I finished it. I'll finish it like I started. I'm sorry. I've been up in the West End all morning. This is Barbara Sexton Smith here for thewillshow.com. That's thewillshow.com. You can go and subscribe, or you can go to youtube.com/WillHeiser, WILHEUSER. It's stupendous, I tell you.
I'm Steve Coombs, and each week, Rick Redding and I record a new episode of Eat, Drink, Talk. We'll fill you up and fill you in on what's happening in Louisville's thriving drinking and dining scene. We bring you food news, interviews, and our take on what's happening around town. Find us on iTunes and download Eat, Drink, Talk.
And if you're done laughing at Will Heiser, welcome back to the show. This is Rick Redding. I want to mention once again my sponsors for this show. Passport Health Plan has been with me from nearly the very beginning, and it's a great job. You can look them up on Passport Health Plan. I write a piece in Insider Louisville every couple of weeks for them, and really appreciate their support of the program. Now, regular listeners know this is the part of the show where I talk about some of the things going on in my hometown, the lovely city of Louisville, KY, and we have really a lot of conflict this week, and I want to get to a couple of these stories and just mention them here on the show and what I think of them. The lighter one, I guess, is about Rick Pitino and John Calipari, and if you, I don't know, if you follow sports talk shows, you know what's going on there. It's like there's a dearth of news in sports at this time of year, and so Calipari and Pitino seem to pop off with comments on each other, and they keep all the sports talk shows going through the summer months. And what happened was Calipari appeared on an ESPN show called The Mike Lupica Show and made a comment that seemed to imply that Rick Pitino should have known about the money for sex and dancers and all that going on within his program that was on campus. Of course, a big part of that story is whether or not Pitino knew what Andre McGee and the guys were doing. And of course, Pitino says he knew nothing about it. I believe him. That's certainly true. I'd love to have Pitino come on this show and talk about it or anything else. But, you know, this might end up being like, you know, on the Bill Maher show, you ever watch that on Friday? Bill is generally upset. He has great guests on the show, but President Obama will not come on the Bill Maher show for some reason, and Bill talks about it all the time. So maybe if I talked about Pitino all the time, he'd eventually come on this show. But regardless, Pitino responded to Calipari's comments, basically saying that you know, he doesn't have time to figure out what Calipari did or didn't mean. He said, quote, "If our paths cross this summer, I'll ask him." And he was on the Terry Miner show and talking about that. So it's very interesting little thing. Of course, a little comment like that sets the guys doing sports talk radio show in this town, or shows in this town, plenty of fodder to get through these weeks when, you know, really we shouldn't be talking about basketball. It's June. We shouldn't really be talking about football either. I know the NBA draft is coming up this week. You may have watched the NBA Finals. I was disappointed the Warriors lost, but good for LeBron James, I guess, and the Cleveland Cavaliers won the NBA title. So that's the big thing in sports. But well, let's move on, because I think it's very interesting to talk about one other subject we've talked about on the show, especially with Ricky Jones a few weeks ago, the U of L professor. Finally this week, Judge Judith McDonald Berkman has ruled basically that the University of Louisville can move the Confederate statue, despite the objections of some group called the Sons of the American Revolution or something like that. Sons of Confederate Veterans, I guess, is the group that was opposing this. And now they've got the fun task of trying to find a place to put the thing. Right now they're going to, it says in the media reports that they're going to find, quote, an appropriate historical venue in the near future. Now, of course, I have said in jest, because that's where all these, quote, rednecks are, that it ought to go out on Dixie Highway by that big fish sign. You know, I don't know if that'll happen, but anyway, they're going to put the thing in storage for a while and then try to find an appropriate historical spot for a Confederate statue that, for many people, recalls a time of slavery and a negative connotation. So, be interesting to see. That thing should be coming down. The statue should be coming down this week. And it's in a great spot on the University of Louisville campus. It was suggested that they put a statue of Muhammad Ali up there. That would be really cool. But I don't know what they'll do. It's right smack in the middle of 3rd Street. So anxious to see what happens on that. We'll be following that story as it unfolds. Now, the big story that people are talking about in town is the whole thing with Governor Matt Bevin and Attorney General Andy Beshear. They seem to be in a little catfight over the issues. Bevin, now for his part, he seems to be on a bit of a power grab. Last Friday, he announced that not only that the University of Louisville Board of Trustees, he was getting rid of all of them. He was just going to, and he had solicited the resignation or retirement of President James Ramsey, and all this was going to happen in 2 weeks. Well, guess what? Today, on Wednesday, Attorney General Andy Beshear came out and said he's filed a lawsuit to prevent all that from happening. He says it's a power grab by the governor, that he doesn't have the authority or the power to do what he says he wants to do. He's also basically done the same thing to the Kentucky Retirement Systems program, which involves a lot of cash and a lot of money. And Beshear seems to be saying, this sets a really bad precedent. If the government looks at all these state boards and decides that he doesn't like the makeup of them or what they're doing, that he'll just fire them all and start a new one with his handpicked individuals on it. That would be this is not going to go away anytime soon. I'll tell you, I talked to folks over at the University of Louisville. President Ramsey is not going anywhere, first of all. If those of you that were cheering for the departure of the president, who's basically made a reputation for scandal and paying himself way too much, he's going to stay there for the foreseeable future. I think it'll take a couple of years to finally get him out of office, and whether the Board of Trustees is going to go away and a new board is going to be installed, I think it will happen, but I think it's going to be a while. I really think that, just my opinion, Governor Bevin, I don't like most of the stuff he does because, he's a Republican, he's a right-winger, and I disagree with him on most policies. I got to admit, I like his style. When he did that press conference last week, he speaks with authority. He's a really good speaker, and he's basically laid out exactly what he planned to do and how he was going to do it, and sort of even made fun of one of the reporters who asked a question more than once, asked the same question more than once. He is a no-nonsense guy. He doesn't he is forceful, I guess. I'm sure he's a difficult guy to work for, probably. But anyway, he is. It's going to be interesting to see how he reacts. Now, it's like Bevin did his thing on Friday. Beshear made his response on the following Wednesday. So now I guess it's Bevin's turn to come out and say what he thinks of Beshear's lawsuit that would prevent the governor from doing what he said. It's all going to come down to what powers does the governor really have, and can he really replace this? Because I guess the logic is that if he can do this at U of L, let's say down at WKU, my alma mater, something happens he doesn't like, is he just going to go in and fire the board and install new board members? It is a bad precedent, and I'm not sure how it's going to come out, but I don't think he'll be able to just randomly choose boards that he doesn't like and fire all the people on them. So there you go. That's the big story on the University of Louisville campus. It's a real shame because there's so much money being wasted, and if you're like my girlfriend Paula, who's paying tuition to U of L, and it goes up every single year, and then you see Ramsey getting this huge contract and paying his people so well, and you're paying that tuition, it's very upsetting. And so the people in the community should be very upset with the whole situation over the University of Louisville. It's a very serious thing that's going on over there, and provides interesting fodder for the news all summer long, I think. So those are the big stories that are going on. I wanted to mention all those, give you my opinion on that, and introduce my next guest, Patrick Redmond. We had a long conversation over there at Waffle House. It was a lot of fun. When he says his book's about God, gays, guns, and green beans. He worked in a restaurant in a small town in Indiana, and was in a struggle. Basically, Patrick struggled with his sexual orientation, the reaction to it. His book illustrates some of the things that people do in terms of their hatred of people for their lifestyles. And, you know, that's just wrong. You know, I believe in a live and let live type of world. And the stories in this book, it's called Some Go Hungry. It's available in stores all over town, anywhere you like to go. And he'll talk in this interview about a special event coming up on July 7th at the Play Bar down in Butchertown. That, you know, if you're interested in this topic, you really should attend. There's some other authors going to be there. And Patrick's a sort of delightful guy. I really enjoyed talking with him and discussing some of the issues about the divisive. We really ended up talking about the divisiveness of politics, believe it or not. And, you know, of course, my opinion, you know, I really have a struggle. I've been telling people this. I have a struggle with respecting people who support Donald Trump, because I assume that they also support, if they support him, they support the banning of Muslims, they support getting rid of Mexicans, they support not having, you know, less rights for women to choose the what they do with their bodies, you know, all these things that Trump sort of stands for. And I think it's going to be a very divisive issue in our country. Paula keeps telling me not to talk about this stuff because, you know, people get uncomfortable. But I guess my opinion is people need to be uncomfortable. These are important issues that we all need to talk about. And so we talk about some of that stuff here in this interview with Patrick Redman. I hope you enjoy it and you go out and get the book. Here it is.
And I believe this is the first interview I've ever done in a Waffle House. I'm with Patrick Redman, author of the book Some Go Hungry. Patrick, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you. It's my pleasure.
Now, I didn't choose this location for the interview. How'd we end up here?
I'm not certain how we ended up here. I think it's apropos, though, that we're in a diner and we're having a conversation about Some Go Hungry.
Exactly. Now, I just finished the book this morning. It's a quick, fascinating read. An excellent story about that I just was drawn into from the start. And you grew up in Indiana, and the book is placed in a restaurant there. A lot of it is, right?
My family actually was in the restaurant business for 55 years. We had, there were several incarnations of it, but the last 20 or so, it was a buffet. And we actually did seat 430 people
in
the
restaurant.
Wow, that's a big place. It was a big place. It
was
in Mammoth. It was a small town, Vincennes, Indiana, just about an hour north of Evansville. And, we were in business there until 2006 when we decided to shut it down.
Wow. So that's the story that's told in the book. And, I mean, is the book pretty true to what went down there?
What I tell readers is that the book is part Romanoklef and part fiction, and it's sort of up to them to decide which is which. But the book is certainly inspired by my experience having grown up in a small rural community, an agricultural community, having grown up in a family business. And it's also inspired by a classmate of mine. His name was Brent Brand, that when he was a senior in high school and I was a junior in high school, he innocently attended a party that the local paper rumored to be homosexual in nature, and he died under incredibly mysterious circumstances there. Someone loaded up his body in a car, drove across the Wabash River into Illinois, and dumped his body in a farm-filled drainage ditch.
Yeah. Now, I'll try to get to all the things I'm curious about in this short time we have. But, you know, as part of the book, you took quite a beating at the restaurant. You were near death.
You're talking about the fictional character, Gray.
The fictional character, Gray,
And the gay bashing that takes place outside of the restaurant, Daniel's Family Buffet, and Some Go Hungry. That is inspired by a game that used to be played in my local community called Smear the Queer, or queer baiting, where they would go and find people that they perceived to be gay, local boys, local men sometimes, and lure them away and then beat them up. So
right.
That part of the book is not autobiographical, but it is certainly a very real experience for many LGBT people, you know, in rural communities and throughout the nation.
Yeah. Well, I think for people that read the book, and I love this line in, the, in your author's note at the end, that it's about God, guns, gays, and green beans. So, great line. But, you know, one of the things I wanted to ask you about is sort of a, as, you know, this is said a few years ago, but, you know, religion is still, and homosexual community, you know, they still seem at odds, and there still seems to be a lot of the attacks on coming from the churches on gay communities, I guess.
Well, absolutely, and you're looking at several different religions, several different kinds of faiths. I mean, certainly after, you know, we can look at what happened with the Orlando massacre just, you know, over a week ago. But you also have pastors like Kevin Swanson. He held a Kill the Gays rally last November that several of our political leaders attended. Reverend Franklin Graham, Billy Graham's son, has said that gay Christians are the enemy. You have, of course, the Westboro Baptist Church. But you also have rural communities with preachers and pastors and people of faith that take Leviticus, or they take Paul's letters as literal, and people then understand that to be permission to go out and to beat, brutalize, murder, hate the LGBT community. And, you know, at some point in time, this all has to stop.
Yeah. Yeah, well, you know, and I know, you know, over time maybe, you know, it seems like, you know, as just perceiving what is going on in the world, we're making progress, or do you see it that way?
It's interesting that you say that, because I had one person ask me if I thought things were getting better, and I said that I didn't think that I could use the word better. I think there's more opportunity for conversation. I think there's more awareness, but better, or the Orlando massacre is not better by any stretch of the imagination at all.
Yeah, yeah. Well, let me ask you a little bit overall about the book. You know, it's your first novel, and, you know, it's not like, I don't know how old you are, but you're not like 22 fresh out of college. Why are you doing your first novel now in your career?
First of all, I was born and raised in my family's restaurant business. I managed it for many years. And then I moved to South Florida, lived in Miami-Dade County, Miami in particular, and taught for the Miami-Dade Public School System there for 12 years. And it was in teaching and working with LGBT youth through the Miami-Dade Public School System with their GSAs, their Gay Straight Alliances, with an organization called Safe School South Florida, that I really began to see that a lot of the same struggles that I had when I was a teen, struggling with my sexual orientation and stories I'd heard my friends tell, these kids today were still struggling with those same issues, the harassment, the bullying. And I had always kind of had this voice inside saying, you know, you just write, you just need to write. And I'd always sort of written for myself, but never for, you know, public consumption, so to speak. And I decided one day to take that voice seriously and listened to it, and a whole new world opened up to me. And I was able then to take those experiences working with LGBT youth and incorporate that into Some Go Hungry.
Wow. So you made a decision to write a book. Tell me about the process. How long did it take you?
This book took 6 years. Wow. It took me 6 years to write, and it was an incredibly serendipitous moment, because when I decided that I wanted to write, I started to attend author readings at a local independent bookstore in Miami called Books and Books. And it was there that I just happened to meet Kaylee Jones, who is the daughter of James Jones, the iconic American author who wrote From Here to Eternity and The Thin Red Line. She herself is a memoirist, a novelist, quite accomplished, but she's also a publisher, too, of Kaylee Jones Books. It's an imprint of Akashic Books. I told her my story. She took interest in that, sort of gave me the steps on what I needed to do to accomplish that, and guided me along the way, and here we are.
And here we are. And so, speaking of which, what you're doing in Louisville, you know, besides your roots in southern Indiana, there's a big event coming up on July 7th. Tell me about that.
Well, Louisville, first of all, is my summer home. I've been spending summers here for well over a decade, so I feel like I'm part of the community here.
We'll accept you.
Well, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. The party, it's called Cocktails and Conversation with Kaylee Jones Books, and it's going to be Kaylee Jones. She's going to moderate the conversation with between me and Barbara Taylor, who is another one of her writers in the Kaylee Jones Books Collective. Barbara just has a new novel coming out called All Waiting Is Long, and it's on Thursday, July 7th. It begins at 5:30 p.m. at Play Louisville, Play Dance Club. And it's just going to be an incredibly informal affair. We're going to have conversation. We're going to mingle. We'll have books certainly there for sale and to sign. And the best part about it is that a portion of all proceeds are going to Kentucky's Fairness Campaign from the event.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, I know that there's been a lot of publicity about based on Orlando and Pride Weekend last weekend. In fact, I drove by Play, and it was wild down there last weekend. It looked like a lot of people were having fun.
Yes.
So it's good that this kind of awareness is coming around, and people like you, this book is very important. I would encourage people to read it because it does tell a very personal story, I think. And a lot of this is, you say fictional character, but you lived this.
There's a lot of it that I lived a version of it, absolutely. But there's a lot of it that many, many people in the LGBT community live every day. And especially our LGBT youth, because, we have statistics out there that LGBT youth are 4 to 6 times more likely to commit suicide over their heterosexual counterparts. And the one that blows me away is that over 40% of all homeless youth identify as LGBT and were kicked to the streets by their own parents, by their own families. When we live in a nation where those statistics are that high, we have a problem.
And I thought, in reading the book, I know that it sort of disappointed me when the character Trace actually committed suicide and actually had that happen. It was it was sad.
That's a very real problem, because you have these clinics, and I use quotes, air quotes, around the clinics, because these are not licensed medical clinics. These don't have any kind of federal or state oversight. And in some circles they're known as Pray the Gay Away, and it's where parents can send their 14 or 15 or 16 year old kid to this clinic to fix them, to repair them, to change their sexual orientation. And, I kind of get on my soapbox with that, because what I say is that's like taking the same kid to the eye doctor and asking the eye doctor to change their eye color. It's impossible. It's part and parcel to who they are.
Right, right. Well, as very well illustrated in the book with the character Trace, it was a tough part of the book to get through for me. And so I appreciate you bringing these topics to the surface. Now, so we're doing all this, and then you go back to Miami? You still doing the teaching down there?
Actually, I don't live in Miami any longer. I moved back to southern Indiana about a year ago, and I'm living out in the country in a 4-square farmhouse and pursuing my writing full-time. Mm-hmm. And if you'd asked me 2 years ago if that's what I would have been doing, I would have thought you were crazy. But no, I spent 16 years there, and it was wonderful, and I knew great things would happen for me in Miami, and they did. But now I'm with my partner in the home that he was born and raised in, and we have settled into a life there. So in that respect, the fact that two gay men can live together in a 4-square farmhouse in the middle of Posey County, Indiana, maybe things are getting better.
Yeah, that sounds like progress. And you don't miss the restaurant business, right?
There are aspects of it that I miss. And what I miss about the restaurant business is bringing a community together. We still have people, because we have been in business for so many years, we still run into people that say, we celebrated my mother's 90th birthday, or we celebrated a wedding anniversary, or our son's christening, or something like that. Our small town restaurant, even though it was a large restaurant, was a part of so many people's lives for so many years, and many milestone moments were celebrated there. And so that's an aspect that I miss, because I think that's an important part in a small town, to have a central location where people can come together as a community to celebrate and, sometimes to mourn as well.
As a first-time mom, I have to admit, I really didn't know what to expect. But the people at Passport did. Besides covering me and my baby for maternity care and checkups, they offered me extra rewards for things I really needed, like gift cards so I could buy a crib or car seat, and gift cards for groceries and gas. All I had to do to earn these rewards was join their Mommy Steps program for new moms and keep my doctor's appointments, things I was going to do anyway. When they say, we take the time to care, they really mean it. That's why I choose Passport.
Why will you choose Passport? Call 1-800-578-0603. That's 1-800-578-0603. And choose Passport. 1-800-578-0603. Passport Health Plan. We take the time to care.
All right, and a big thank you to Patrick, who was, like I say, lives in a small town in Indiana, spends a lot of time in Louisville, and has written this wonderful book. Believe me, you should pick it up. It doesn't take that long to read. It's a very interesting story, and I recommend it highly. So anyway, thanks to him for coming on the show, along with Will Heiser. And certainly I'm going to post the episodes of The Will Show on LouisvilleKY.com, and you know, I may even put it up on the RustySatelliteShow.com website. It's a little bit humorous, especially if you know, like Rusty Guest. Barbara Sexton Smith was on the Rusty Show, and she's the interview with her. The impression of her is really amazing, as you heard from Will during the show. So anyway, that's great. That's going to do it for another episode of the Rusty Satellite Show, introducing you to some of the most interesting people in the Ville. A very big thank you to my sponsors, the Eye Care Institute and Passport Health Plans, both of whom are very supportive of this project and this show. If you're interested in getting behind us, being a sponsor of this show, or, you know, some of my other podcasts, we have a great audience, great and growing audience at Eat, Drink, Talk, and I'm also with the J-Town Chamber podcast each and every week right here on the Louisville.am network. So you can keep up with all that on LouisvilleKY.com. The Pulse of the City, where we keep up with everything that's going on in the news. So thank you again for listening to the Rusty Satellite Show. I'll be back with next week with two more of the most interesting people in the Ville.
Thanks for listening to the Rusty Satellite Podcast with your host, Rick Redding. Next week, Rick will be right back here on Louisville.am with another stellar lineup of great guests. You can let Rick know what you think by sending an email to rick@louisvilleky.com. He's on Twitter, too, @RickyRedding. For more information about the show, including photos of Rusty Satellite Show guests, go to louisvilleky.com, the pulse of the city. What the hell?